Good afternoon. Everybody's well fed, it's after lunch, we are ready to go. Welcome to Microsoft Ignite, or as one of our MVPs, Mark Rackley, calls it, the SharePoint Conference. All right, I hope Mark's in the room. So we are very, very excited, the team and I, 60 sessions, you probably have read every word of the six blogs that went live. We're gonna highlight a bunch of stuff today. And let me start first by thanking all of you. We know many of you in your organizations have bet parts of your company, if not individually, your careers on SharePoint. I had a chance, there's these SharePoint Saturday events around the world, I had a chance to go to them in Nashville, Paris, and Toronto in the last few months, and just getting a chance to talk to people in the community about the things they've done for their company and how it's helped their career with SharePoint has really been awe-inspiring. And the team takes that responsibility very seriously to take your investment to the next level. It's been a great year for us, a lot of momentum. We saw the Nielsen Norman survey come out, 9 of the 10 best intranets running on SharePoint. This is the year where the hockey stick's going around Office 365 and SharePoint Online. You saw this morning 70 million monthly active users in Office 365. It's so fun to sort of look at the stats for the service in OneDrive and SharePoint. We've had weeks where we have a million new users connecting to Office 365 for the first time. It's just awesome, and we are so excited because that means we get new value out to you faster than ever before. But the big highlight of the year, we think, was our new vision. On May 4th, we highlighted a vision of being simple, intelligent, and untethered for SharePoint and how it connects to OneDrive, and got great feedback on that. Outstanding. We had over 250,000 views of the videos we did for the event. There was over 200 news articles and blog posts about the event. And as people have seen, perhaps a few years ago, maybe we were in third gear. We found a seventh and eighth gear for the release cycle for OneDrive and SharePoint. Really, every couple weeks, new blogs, new releases, functionality, and getting great feedback on that. And hopefully you've seen over the course of the summer, we've adapted to that feedback, we've tweaked some things. But overall, it's really been a fun time for getting new value out to customers for SharePoint and OneDrive. I thought I'd talk a couple of minutes about framing that vision before we spend most of the time on demos. So with all that new acceleration, getting new bits out to you every sort of week or every day, people have said to me, hey, Jeff, stop, hold on a second. We're starting to lose the big picture. How does Office 365 all fit together? Why is the sum of the parts greater than the whole greater than the sum of the parts? And why should I go versus on-prem? And we think about the glue of Office 365 as really being three things. I sort of colloquially call them the three G's, groups, graph, and governance. Security doesn't really begin with a G, and so it was sort of my tweaking of the positioning. But anyway, groups is the idea that you have a common list of people that gets access to all the resources in Office 365. So a group is a team, SharePoint's where that team goes to work. The graph is what indexes your content in Office 365, but does so intelligently, looking at what's getting used, what your social network is, who you communicate with, what you use frequently, what's popular and trending, so the system does work so that you don't have to. The graph powers the intelligence across Office 365. And lastly, the governance area, broadly defined, of security and compliance. You'll see this afternoon, we'll show some of the things spanning a whole bunch of dimensions for security. Anyway, these three fundamental things are what glues Office 365 together and makes it a really great proposition, easier to develop solutions on, easier to manage, and most importantly, easier to use. And so on May 4th at the event, we articulated how OneDrive connecting to SharePoint fits really at the center of this. Because really, there's nothing more important at Microsoft. There's sort of the core of us is innovating on how people collaborate on content. Whether it's a set of students working on their homework, or it's the largest organization on the planet transforming their intranet to help transform how their employees work and engage with their customers and partners. So we set a new vision for SharePoint to help you intelligently discover, share, and collaborate on content anywhere and on any device. And so we were really excited to sort of go through the sessions on that at the May 4th event. And I won't sort of walk the wheel, if you will, for those of you who've been at SharePoint events in the past, but just really highlight the four main building blocks, and then we'll go through them one by one. First, simple and powerful file sharing. Second, the mobile intelligent intranet. Third, an open and connected platform. Fourth, and finally, security, privacy, and compliance. And we'll go through each of those with a set of demos in the rest of the session. So let me start with simple and powerful file sharing. This is the idea of getting OneDrive and SharePoint to help you work on all your files in your personal life, your work life, your individual files, your team files on SharePoint, making that experience seamless so that you get access to all your files, you can create, collaborate, and discover them anywhere on any device. An incredible amount of progress there in the last year, and particularly since last Ignite. I'm really, really fired up for the OneDrive team and their sessions here. I think not only in this session, but the drill downs from OneDrive, you're gonna see a lot of great new stuff and some surprises. So let me update what we've done since May 4th. In May, we disclosed a lot of the things that we were doing, but today and this week, we've got a bunch of new announcements. So we're taking the OneDrive next generation sync technology that works across consumer OneDrive service and OneDrive for Business and extending that to SharePoint team sites. That goes into preview this week. You'll be able to access it. Yeah! Finally. And fast, reliable, high quality, manageable, and so forth. And we'll get that out by the end of the year, but it's going into preview this week. Soon, first on Windows, fairly shortly on the Mac, and very, very excited about that. Second, we're making doing work to fulfill the promise of accessing all your files in Office 365. You can think of OneDrive as sort of the super cross-platform explorer for us. You'd open it up, you get to your personal stuff, your work stuff, and your team stuff in SharePoint. And we'll show how that works on all devices, and particularly some new web experience updates for OneDrive. Got a bunch of improvements in the mobile app, how we work with PDFs, notifications, and so forth. We'll show a few of those here, but a lot more in the drill down sessions on OneDrive. Improved file preview support. It was great to see Shantanu on stage with Satya this morning. That was awesome. We've got great, awesome support for the Adobe file formats we're gonna be showing you, as well as really, really smoking hot video and photo experience within OneDrive that once you use them, you'll be sort of thrilled compared to where we were before. Bunch of deep office integration. You may have seen at the end of Scott's keynote, Yusuf Mehdi came up and showed what he called the collab corner. This is how we're adding capabilities like Skype conferences, conversations, activity feeds on documents, and much more coming. So rich office integration only with OneDrive and SharePoint. And the last feature is sort of really kind of my favorite in the OneDrive space. We had, a few people know, we had our product review with Satya on Friday. I scheduled it so to be very efficient so that we would do the exact same demos that we're doing this week for Satya and the SLT on Friday. And got a bunch of great feedback on it, but this is the one where he really nodded his head, picked up his glasses and said, that's pretty cool. So anyway, you'll see that in a second. In fact, to show that and much more, let me bring up Ruben Krippner. Ruben.
Thanks, Jeff. It's a long walk across here. So I want to bring to life some of the things that that Jeff's talked about, take you through some of the innovations that we're driving, and really show you how we deliver an unrivaled productivity experience across PC, Mac, browser, mobile, and we've got some just fantastic true Office integration as well. So let's first of all have a look at the browser experience, and Jeff talked about some of the previewing work that we've been doing. So here's the web client. Let's go in and actually have a look at the files. So we've had a lot of work done around these rich thumbnails and previews and so forth. And we've traditionally done really well on office file formats and certain images and so on. But I wanted to take you through where we're heading from there. So we've got a ton of work going on around some previews. So let's bring up, first of all, we've got some images here. Let's go back. That doesn't look like it's working for me. Let's try and refresh this page. Okay, there we go. So the thumbnail's coming up. Let's go into the preview, bring up the information pane. There we go there. So we've got the usual culprits, so JPEGs, PNG files and so forth, really rich experience. But now we're bringing in PostScript files for preview. We're bringing in raw image support. So this is actually from a Canon camera, so we've got some capabilities in that regard. And now we've also got streaming video. So the ability for you not to have to download the entire video file before you actually go and play this. So on any device and wherever you are, you can now work with these videos in a much more rapid fashion. We've also got fantastic new support for the bulk of the Adobe file format, certainly the ones that are most popular. So things like PDFs, we've got a great experience that adds to those on the phone. We've also got support for Photoshop files as well. So a couple of Photoshop images there. And we've also got some Adobe Illustrator support as well. So a great set of new previewing capabilities. I don't have to download the files in order to have that rich experience. And then one other thing that we've added, lots of people save their important email messages off to .eml or .msg files. Now we've got a really beautiful, simple, rich preview of email files as well. So we've added over 20 new preview formats as far as preview and thumbnail is concerned. So that's a great set of enhancements as far as the browser experience is. So let's go and actually have a look at a couple of other things that we've been working on. Sorry guys, back to the Mac, thanks. We've been working on where we've added the capability to go and copy files to SharePoint. So very simply, I can go and pick other folders in OneDrive. I can pick the sites that I'm actually looking for to copy those across. But we've also now, one of the things that we've added in and we're rolling out is the ability to work with your SharePoint files directly from within the OneDrive browser. So now I don't have to move to different locations in order to work to all my files. We're unique as far as a vendor that gives me my personal work files as well as my team files from SharePoint, all in the one experience. And that builds on top of what we released on May 4th, where for the iOS app, we bought that same capability as well. So now I've got that rich preview and thumbnail and all the capabilities that I would want on files from there. So we've got the mobile experience, we've got the browser experience. So Jeff talked about SharePoint Document Library Sync. So let's actually go and have a look at that. So I'm going to bring up the sync client. Let's go to the Finder experience. So we've had OneDrive sync on Mac and PC for some time now. Now what we've actually got is another folder named after your tenant where I can actually sync a whole bunch of other content now. First of all, shared folders. So this is actually a folder shared to me by Doug from his OneDrive. So now I can actually go and take offline folders from other people's OneDrive that have been synced with me. Opens up all kinds of new collaboration experiences that might not necessarily need the full power of SharePoint behind them. So let's go and have a look at actually how I go and trigger a sync from a SharePoint site. So here we are here, I'm in the international sales site. All I got to do is go and click sync, then tell it to fire off that sync. We've got the capability, just like OneDrive, to actually go and choose the folders that I want to take offline. So exactly the same experience and exactly the same rich capability. So I'm going to go ahead and take all of those. Thanks to the sync engineering team for starting that ripple of applause. So they're actually very excitable about this stuff. So now we've actually got that. Let's go back to Finder. There's that international sales folder, and you'll see all of those files and folders are coming down and coming down in very rapid fashion. So that's the sync experience. So again, just reiterating, a single mobile experience, a single browser experience, and now a single sync experience. And that preview is available today. So definitely get stuck into it in the blog post. Got all the instructions on how you get that set up. So that's a fantastic set of progress. One other thing also just on the sync that we've worked on is we've added this new activity center. So up the top right here, you'll see everything that's going on with my sync client. So I can check in on progress, I can see the uploads and downloads and the sync activities, and that's where I also get to my settings as well. So we've really opened up and added new insight in terms of what's going on and make sure that the user is aware in the event that there's the unlikely challenges or something like that, you can really get to grips with what's going on. So that's the sync experience. Let's switch across to the mobile device now, and mobile gets some love as well. So let's have a look at this is the iOS app. So the usual thing, being able to go and scroll through my files and folders. Just to reiterate, we released in May the ability to get into my SharePoint document libraries, so I can actually look at all of those files now. But one of the things that we've added is this Me tab. And what this gives me is, first of all, a simple navigation between all of my various accounts, personal, work, and so forth, as well as I've got a list of my files with all of the information about how many views that file is getting. So if I tap into Tray Research, I can see over time the number of views for that file, as well as the number of unique viewers of that file as well. So imagine if you're publishing content to SharePoint or you're sharing with colleagues and you want to understand how many people are interacting with that file or viewing it, you've got that insight directly in the mobile. And we'll build more insights into that as we move forward. One other thing just on the mobile front too, I forgot to mention, the ability to connect to the SharePoint team sites has been released today onto the Android app as well. So you've got that for Android and iOS. So that's the mobile piece. Let's switch across to the PC now. And we talk about true Office integration. So this is, look, every experience that I do within Office, I want OneDrive and SharePoint to just be baked into that experience. So what I mean by that is let's go and open up Microsoft Word. Things like the most recently used list, really, really powerful because we typically work on files for a period and then move on to other things. So to have that at my fingertips on every device wherever I am to get back to that proposal or whatever document I'm working on, super powerful. Let's go in and actually have a look at a document that I've been editing, Sync Monthly Newsletter, the newsletter for Sync enthusiasts everywhere. But what you can do is, first of all, in the what we colloquially call the backstage, if I go into Open, I get my recent files, and that's great. But we've now added the Shared with Me view, so I can get to all of the files that have recently been shared with me. So one click, and I get into all of the most recent files that I care about directly from the Office app. I don't have to jump out of it. We've got one-click sharing, which you've seen before. But we're also rolling out this activity view. So this is unique to Office when you store your files on OneDrive and SharePoint, where I now can understand at a glance everything that's been going on with that file. And if I want to, I can even roll back to previous versions. So Office integration is going to be something that we're going to continue to innovate in. But if you look at how we drive that and how we bring all of the experiences for OneDrive and SharePoint together, I think you'll agree we've got an unrivaled productivity experience. So with that, I'm going to hand back to Jeff.
Sounds great, Ruben. Hey, you know, what do you think? Should we do it?
Let's show them.
Okay.
Let's show them. Let's show them that thing.
We got one more thing.
So imagine a world, I don't know how crazy it is, but imagine a world where you've got lots of stuff in the cloud and you've got limited storage space on your device. And what if you had a view of all of your files even if you haven't taken them offline, so that you've got a view of every single file, and you can then take action with those, and you can choose on demand to actually go and sync those files. So that's what you're looking at here. This is a very early prototype and review. I see a lot of cameras going up there. That's fantastic. But again, just to sort of show what we mean by that, if I go and right-click in, let's have a look at the properties on my OneDrive, you'll see the total size there, 9.1 gig. The total amount of size on disk, just a small amount of files. So you can choose what you want to take offline at any point, and all of the actions that you would want to take on files. So if I go ahead and open up this Word document, it's just going to treat it like a Word document. I can open it, edit it, work with it, and you'll see that in Explorer, it's actually on demand brought that down for me to be able to work with and take that offline. So this doesn't replace sync, and we're continuing to invest in sync because we think that's a very valuable scenario, and people can choose the folders that they want to take offline. But this is just bringing back an experience that allows you to be more flexible with understanding all of your files and working with the ones that you want to. So that's all
great
for today.
Thanks, Ruben.
Thanks, Jeff.
Appreciate it. All right, let's talk about the schedule. So we've released mobile access to SharePoint. As Ruben announced, the Android OneDrive app got that, mirroring what we did on iOS a few months ago. Intelligent discovery, using the Office Graph inside the OneDrive experience. Copy to SharePoint, so you can work on something in a personal space and then not have to email it to 100 different people. You can just move it to that team site where the 100 people already are. We didn't talk about the Windows Universal app, but we've got a great one out. Not only works on the desktop and Windows Phone, but it works on HoloLens and Surface Hub as well. I think it's the only augmented reality file browser that exists that you can stick on your coffee table and click on things and drag them to your, you know, end table or whatever. Anyway, and the file activity view is going first on iOS this week as well. Coming fairly soon, Sync, as we said, on Windows and Mac for SharePoint team sites in Office 365. That's in preview this week and will ship by the end of the year. Access to all your files in Office 365, so browsing SharePoint sites from the OneDrive web UI, coming out very soon, next few weeks. Same for file previews. And we didn't get to show it here because of time, but we've got a very streamlined, simplified OneDrive administrative console coming out as well. So that's what we're doing in file sharing. Let me next talk about the mobile intelligent intranet. This is the idea, and as people who've followed us for many years know, sort of, talking about exactly what SharePoint is when it's such a broad product has always been a little tricky. And we are pretty excited about this idea that companies can deliver their employees their intranet on their phone. It's a rich, fast experience and powered by the intelligence of the graph. And so, really, we talked about that in two parts. First was putting the intranet in your pocket, having both a web view and a mobile view for all your sites. Collaboration sites, published portals, on-premises and in the cloud, out of the box, customized. Nobody else does that, gives you a simple web view of that, as well as a simple mobile view. And we're pretty excited that in addition to the iOS version for SharePoint that we shipped shortly after our May 4th event, that this week we're coming out with the previews of the SharePoint mobile app for Android and Windows Phone that has that rich search and browsing capability we'll show you in a second, as well as this new capability that we call Team News. And it's probably easier to show that than talk about it, and so we'll do that in just a second here. So that's the Uber intranet navigation, search, browsing experience. Sort of below that, we really focused this year on making team sites awesome. A lot of the feedback we got at the last Ignite, to be frank, was there was some confusion about Office 365 groups versus SharePoint team sites. And that really wasn't what we meant to do. We were sort of rolling out group functionality across the suite. And so we got a chance to really simplify that this year. A group is a list of people. They get access to all the apps in Office 365, SharePoint Planner, Connect to Power BI, CRM, and much more. And so every group gets a SharePoint site, and soon we'll be changing the default for SharePoint to be that same group-powered SharePoint site to really simplify the experience. Wicked fast, provision one of these SharePoint sites in a matter of seconds, simplified user experience for document libraries, lists, pages, and much more. And then supporting the kinds of customization that SharePoint has always embraced that helps you tailor it for your organization. In the past, you may know we've had tools like SharePoint Designer and InfoPath. We really wanted a cloud-first, mobile-first tool that was the tool you used across Microsoft, not just SharePoint. And so we're really excited over the last year to work very deeply with the Power Apps and Flow team. And this was probably the biggest surprise we did on May 4th, was the integration of Power Apps, Flow, and SharePoint. Super, super cool. And then lastly, as we roll out that new experience, we're going to be plugging more things in. And you'll see quickly in the session here, but also in drill downs, we're going to be adding Yammer integration, Power BI integration, and much more to these modern team sites. So to show the new SharePoint experience, let me bring up Dan Holm. Dan?
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for the introduction. And thanks for the opportunity to share with you the highlights that Jeff just covered and everything else that's new in SharePoint. The mobile intelligent internet connects you with the people, groups, content, and apps you need to get your job done. That's what it's all about. And we're going to see how this impacts the productivity of a typical information worker, in this case, Dan Holm, who works for a clothing company that sells fashions direct to consumer. At my company, and let's go ahead and switch to my computer, please. We've been using SharePoint for a long time to support collaboration. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of team sites, and it was becoming difficult just to navigate and get to work every day. So I was thrilled after May 4th when Microsoft gave SharePoint a new home. The SharePoint tile in Office 365 now leads to the SharePoint home, and the SharePoint home on the left side of the page has links I need to get to work. We'll see links to sites I've intentionally and explicitly chosen to follow. We see links to sites I've visited recently, and we see links that my organization wants to make sure are front and center, links that are curated by my IT organization or my corporate communications department. So I've got an easy way to navigate across my organization and my teams. This same approach to navigation is what we took in the SharePoint mobile app. So for those of you who haven't seen it yet, let's switch over to my iPhone here. And we see the same approach to navigation. We see my links that are, again, curated by IT or my corporate communications department. We see the sites that I am following, and we see sites that are being surfaced by Microsoft Graph as being frequent, that I visit regularly. Now, within the SharePoint home, I can also search. If I'm looking for something specific, I can start to type. Let's say I'm looking for something about our loyalty program. And search will give me results not just from sites, but also files that match, people that are relevant to that particular search term. And so this isn't just a search against a flat index. This is a search with results that are informed by the Microsoft Graph. And that intelligence means that these results are more likely to be high value and relevant to me. The same kind of search experience exists in SharePoint Home. But the reason I start on SharePoint Home every day is because it's one place where I can get a single look at all of the activity happening across my team sites. The cards for each site show activity, again, coming from Microsoft Graph. I can open documents from those activity links, et cetera. And so it's a quick way for me to see what's going on in my environment. And by the way, these links are not just coming from Office 365 SharePoint sites. They're coming from classic SharePoint sites. They're coming from sites on-prem, if I'm using hybrid sites as part of SharePoint Server. And we see Office 365 sites like video channels and Office 365 groups, which, as Jeff mentioned, now have sites as well. So we're now going to dive into a team site, into my loyalty program team site specifically. And a team site is designed to connect me with the people, the content, and the apps I need to work on this specific team. We've overhauled the experience of the team site homepage in order to allow it to be high value and to help me see what I need to stay in the know and informed. At the top, we see a section of news and announcements. We see links to resources that I need to be able to get to regularly as part of this team. And at the bottom, we see an activity feed, again, powered by Microsoft Graph, helping me see what's gone on recently on my team so I can find out what's happening in it. Now, this team site at the top on the homepage has the new feature that Jeff was talking about, which is news. And we're thrilled to be bringing news to team sites so that you can communicate and keep your team informed about announcements and about other things that are important. Let's start by looking at an existing news page. And these news articles are the first example I'm showing now of modern SharePoint pages. Modern SharePoint pages are beautiful. They render beautifully on mobile devices, as we'll see. They can include text and images. They can include web parts, like the activity feed that we see on our homepage. They support multimedia, et cetera. So they're very rich experiences. And to create news, it's as simple as clicking Add. So I'm at a conference at Ignite in Atlanta. I'm going to create a quick trip report telling folks how it went. For those of you who've seen other web authoring experiences, this will look very familiar. It's a gallery of web parts. It's beautiful. I'm going to go ahead and add some text, which I typed into my clipboard to save us some time. I'm going to add an image. And I'm going to go ahead and pick an image from our site. And this is one of those times where it really helps to have those new views that Ruben was showing with those great previews. So I can pick just the right image to pop into this news article. And if I go down a little bit further, we can see all the other types of web parts that I can add right out of the box. Images, documents, Office 365 videos, interesting interactive web parts that include dynamic web parts like highlighted content and news. And we see coming soon integration with Power BI and the ability to integrate with Yammer right in the middle of a news article. So I'm going to go ahead and publish this article. And we'll see that it shows up in my news section at the top of the team site, so my team can now stay informed with that useful bit of information. Now, this same experience comes to the phone as well. So if I go into my sites, cancel out of the search I was in. If I go into the loyalty program site, which my eyes are failing me here, so I'm going to just do a search again. We see the same kind of beautiful team site experience on the phone. We see news, we see the activity, and the news articles themselves already updated with our conference trip report, again, render beautifully in the phone. Pretty cool, huh? Awesome. Now, even better, I belong to lots of teams. We all do. We do a lot of things in our day-to-day existence. How do I stay in touch with what's important across all my teams? Well, in the SharePoint mobile app on iOS, let's go back to the homepage of the app, we actually have the News tab. Coming out now on SharePoint mobile for iOS and coming soon to the other platforms as well, we see an aggregation of all of the news across my teams. Microsoft Graph is powering the intelligence that surfaces the stories that are important to me, and so I can go to one place while I'm on the road, on the train, on the way to work, and see what's going on my teams. Also very, very, very cool. Oh, thank you. The news team thanks you as well. So back to our site. Let me close down a couple of tabs here. We've seen that SharePoint sites have pages. SharePoint sites also have files. Ruben talked about files from the context of OneDrive. Let's see what the power of SharePoint can do to help your team organize and manage its files. In a SharePoint site, in a document library, I've got all kinds of files, obviously. And notice I've got the ability to see an activity feed for the entire library. We saw in the Office integration that you can see activity for a single file. I can do that in the documented library in the SharePoint experience as well. But I also get that ability to see what's going on in the entire library. Libraries also got a great new capability, which is the possibility to add links to libraries. So if there's a resource anywhere that your team needs to get to work, you can drop it in as a link. So for example, at the beginning of the session, we saw that great vision video. We've got that posted to YouTube, and I want my team to have access to that. So I'm actually going to drop that in as a link to the site and give it a name and create that link. So libraries allow you then to collect information from all kinds of places and expose that to your team. So we can see that link showing up down there, and obviously I could navigate to it if I wanted to. Ruben showed in OneDrive that you can see a view of the activity around a specific file. And we've built the same capability to look at activity in your team sites into the new site contents page. So the site contents page on my loyalty program site shows me what's going on. I can see how many visits we've got. I can see what content is trending. And we'll be investing more and more into the capabilities for you to look at what's going on within your team and obviously across your organization as well. But you know what? Sometimes it's the smallest things that make the biggest difference to our users' experience. And if we look at a typical document library, we can see some of the small investments that make a big difference to your users. This library is where we store articles that will be published on our website. So we've got articles from authors, they're in various stages of review, and I can use metadata on those articles to help me organize tremendous amounts of content. So I can select a document, for example, open up the information panel, and I can decide what audience that article is going to go to. I can pick a channel, maybe it needs to go under fashion industry, for example. And then I can turn around and I can use that metadata to organize the files. So I can sort, I can group by channel, for example, to see what articles we've got in each channel. And I can also, let me go ahead and group by status to see what articles are in what phase of work. So we can see some articles have been submitted, some have been ingested, some are in review, some have been reviewed, and some have been published. Now, most of us have work situations where we're simply moving documents through phases of a project, of a process. Same thing with data in lists. We've made it very easy for you to move things through various stages of a process and to work with metadata by simply dragging and dropping items in a SharePoint library. So I can select this article, for example, just drag it into ingested, and we'll see that that article now has that piece of metadata attached to it. Isn't that awesome? Very, very cool. And as Ruben showed, we also have the ability to sync libraries offline, and we can take individual folders. In fact, if I went into a subfolder and clicked sync, by default, it will only take from that folder down, which is super, super cool. Finally, while we've made the powerful simple, we've also made sure that SharePoint stays as powerful as possible. And you can see in this particular library, we've extended it with solutions from a partner, in this case, DocuSign. We're enabling developers and partners to continue to extend the out-of-box experience as we evolve the experience of document libraries. So document libraries are awesome, but your sites also have lists. And I just closed my site by accident, so let me reopen it here. By the way, since I did close it and we're back on the homepage, notice you can also create new content straight from the homepage. Very, very nice. We're going to now focus on lists. Lists are something that a lot of customers rely heavily on in order to collaborate around structured content. Lists have the same modern interface, the ability to sort and group by columns. So I'm going to go ahead and sort by feasibility and then group by votes to find out what, and then sort by votes to find out what great ideas we have that are ranked quite high. So we can see, for example, I sorted the wrong order. Sort great, larger to smaller. We can see that there is an idea for a custom-fitted backpack that has a lot of votes and is a popular idea. Now, SharePoint lists have long been a place where we can gather data, for example, brainstorming in this scenario. But sometimes you want to know more about who is involved with the activity of your team. For example, I might not know who is this Susan and Hanley and why is it that she submitted an idea that's so good. We are now bringing, across Office 365, power of the people to collaboration. People are at the center of collaboration in Office 365. And here we can see a great new experience called the People Card. The People Card brings rich information from the user's profile along with activity from Microsoft Graph to let me see information about the user, to connect with them, to see their organizational structure. I can even click Show Organization and I can see a deeper view of their organization. I can see what files they've contributed to this group. I can even say, wow, I wonder what else she's done in our organization and expand my view to all of Office 365. And with all of these intelligent experiences, you're never going to see content you don't have permission to. This is only because these files are available to me in the first place. And if I want to know even more about Sue, I can open up her profile and we can see the new user profile in Delve. Elsewhere in the building right now, they're talking about this profile, so I'm just going to give you a quick overview of some of the main new items in it. And those include a quick view of the user's availability. So if I want to connect with Sue, I can see right here when it would be a good time to connect with her. In addition, profiles now have the ability to see not only the organization structure, but soon the groups that someone belongs to. so I can see more about who that user is and what groups I might want to join based on what they belong to. And last but not least, the profile editing experience is now immersive as well. We see a great new editing experience with a more emphasis on making it easy to complete your profile, emphasis on skills and expertise, etc. So a great new people experience. And again, all of that is then surfaced into the people card right in the context of your work, so you don't have to leave your work to know more about the people you're working with. Now, SharePoint lists are a great way to automate processes and to engage your users as well. In this particular scenario, we're trying to collect ideas for a new loyalty program, and I want my team to really get involved with submitting ideas. My team's really mobile, though. And so if I really want to engage them, I need to give them a mobile experience for this particular use case. And that's what Power Apps is for. Power Apps integration with SharePoint allows me to take this data in the SharePoint list and mobilize it in a rich, interactive application. So let me switch over to my phone. And just to be superstitious, I'm going to restart the Power App and make sure I'm on the right switch. So I'm opening up the Club Contoso app, and we'll notice on the cover page of the app, we see information about me, so this is consuming that from Office, from Microsoft Graph. And in the app, I've got the ability to see the ideas. I can vote them up or down. I'll go ahead and give Sue's idea yet another vote here. And then I've also got the ability to submit ideas. Now, right now, having been up here talking about SharePoint, my brain isn't really on great ideas for the loyalty program. I need someone who's full of great ideas. Jeff, can you come out here for a second?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. You know, I was thinking this morning while I was watching Scott in his red shirt that Scott has his .NET red shirt, but I got all this nice feedback about my shoes at the Future of SharePoint event.
Yeah, you did.
So why not give people the SharePoint blue shoes as a reward in their loyalty program with, wait for it, the plaid Sharegate socks.
That's awesome. Thanks for the great idea, Jeff. So I'm going to take a picture of those shoes and socks, and I'm going to submit it as SharePoint shoes and socks. And I'll go ahead and submit this idea from my phone out on the road when the idea comes to me. And of course, when I switch back to the browser experience and refresh, we will see SharePoint shoes and socks right there. Voila. Now, the next stage in this process is that I have to evaluate the idea and decide whether it's a good idea or not. And in the past, I would have to come to the SharePoint site and check in with it once in a while, or I might have been able to set up an alert to remind me to come back to the site. But what I really want to do is integrate this work with my day-to-day application. And so we created what's called a flow to connect with the service and the data and automate it. So when I go to Outlook, hopefully this will have worked here. Let's see. Ah, looks like the flow. Oh, there we go. Whew. Just in time. I get the email in my inbox with the idea along with response buttons so I can decide whether this is a great idea or not. And of
course, I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a great idea too because, you know, you're a VP and such. So we'll go ahead and click great idea. The idea is submitted, and when we go back to the loyalty program and refresh, of course, that's going to show. So that's how we mobilize business processes and automate them, thanks to integration of Power Apps and Flow, and make sure to go to those sessions later on this week. So to pull this all together, the team site connects me with the people, the content, and the apps I need on my team. SharePoint then extends that across the organization so I can connect with people, groups, content, and applications across my organization. And we know that earlier this summer, we've been in the process of giving every new Office 365 group a SharePoint site, and that means your SharePoint workloads, your use cases, like the loyalty program, also get a planner to manage tasks. They get a conversation powered by Outlook, for example. And coming soon, Yammer groups will be connected with Office 365 groups as well. So I have a Yammer group here where we discuss fashion trends, and that Yammer group also has a SharePoint site, and the files that we store in the SharePoint group and the Yammer group now are part of the SharePoint experience as well. Last but not least, we're going to be giving every new SharePoint site a group. And that can be done, taking us right back to the beginning, at the SharePoint home. If we're going to start a new team, we can spin it up by clicking Create Site. Let's say this team is called Atlanta. I can decide whether it's public or private, and I can assign an information classification. Maybe this is for internal use only, and Navjot will speak more about how that helps your organization's information security profile and posture. I can add members to the group, so I'm going to go ahead and add Jeff to the group, and click Finish. Now, do you remember how long it used to take to create a SharePoint site? You would be able to go away and get a cup of coffee, and it would take, you know, 10, 15 minutes to go up. I didn't even get to finish my sentence. How's that? That's the power of the internet, connecting you with people, content, groups, and apps. It's mobile. We let you take your internet in your pocket with the SharePoint mobile apps. And it's intelligent, because experiences powered by Microsoft Graph surface content and expertise almost magically right in the context of your work. Thank you very much, and I'm going to toss it right back to Jeff.
Great. Thanks, Dan. All right. So just to recap, we have shipped modern lists, libraries, and pages. That site activities and insights page is released. SharePoint Home on the web and the iOS app is all out. Again, today, the Windows Phone and Android version of the mobile app's coming out. We are rolling out groups integration. First, every group gets a site. And second, in a little bit, we'll switch the default provisioning to that same group site. We're in preview with Power Apps and Flow. There's just a ton there that we'd love to show you this week. As Dan showed, simple, fast site creation and team news, all coming this year. Some things in the next few weeks, actually. So that takes us to our third section on an open and connected platform. So when I came back to the team, we sort of stepped back a little bit, and we were really grateful that SharePoint was this app that a couple hundred million people use around the world that attracted a lot of developers to build on top of it. But we wanted to expand the developer party. If all of you go to LinkedIn and go search on SharePoint, you see about 1.5 million people list SharePoint as a skill. We want to make that even bigger, both for people creating solutions without any coding skills, things like Power App and Flow, but also hardcore developers, not just .NET developers, but the open source world as well. So let me talk about the couple of investments we're making there. First, simplifying the API, not just across OneDrive and SharePoint, but across all of Microsoft. The Microsoft Graph API, a set of REST conventions, webhook support, OAuth authentication integration. Again, if you found some developer off the street who had only known Python or Node.js or the Swift SDK, whatever skill set they'd come, they no longer have to, and it breaks my heart because I wrote a lot of forewords to these books, but they no longer have to read the 1,000-page programming SharePoint book. They just go to the web and see our REST interfaces, and it looks like any other system. So we're really excited about that, and we're expanding the support of SharePoint in the Graph API. And this week, we're announcing support for SharePoint Sites and SharePoint Lists within the Graph API. Again, this is a great way to build custom user interfaces with things like Xamarin or, you know, iOS SDK or so forth, or to build server-to-server communications, register a webhook, and sort of do processing, whether it's in .NET or Python or so forth. So that's the data layer, the Graph API. On the user experience layer, on May 4th, we announced that we are the first content management system to move to a true client-side rendering model. You saw the benefits of that in the performance that Dan showed, but it also lets, again, the development community use modern JavaScript frameworks and other sorts of approaches to build, you know, great, fast extensions to SharePoint with skills that are very mainstream in the marketplace. And so we have this lightweight framework. It's not only good for extending our web interface, but as Dan showed very briefly, we host that framework within the SharePoint app. So if you're on a mobile phone, you're bringing up one of these pages, and you've built a custom web part in your organization to monitor your oil refinery, your law cases, or so forth, that will render in the mobile app with this new SharePoint framework. And we've made it as open as we possibly can. It leverages things like Facebook's React framework or Google's Angular framework. It uses our TypeScript language that we've worked with everybody, including Google, on. Many, many other sort of open source technologies that are leveraged here, again, to cast the net as broadly as possible and bring as much innovation as we can to the SharePoint ecosystem. And we're going to be extending that SharePoint framework in the next few months with new extensions for team site customization, something we know a lot of people are excited about. We needed to get the base framework out first, and then we can build on it. So, to summarize that, we are in preview with files in the, we're actually out with files in the Graph API, SharePoint webhooks, and SharePoint framework are all in preview. Those are going to move to GA this quarter, as well as expanding team site extensibility. We added sites and lists in the graph coming this week. And then lastly, I really want to emphasize the SharePoint framework is not the only way to extend the SharePoint UI. We have an add-in model that's has some different trade-offs in terms of the isolation of code and so forth that we still embrace, and we're actually going to make enhancements to that fairly soon to plug in the existing add-ins into the new UI. And you'll hear more about that in the developer sessions that we've got this week. So quick tour of the developer and extensibility portion of SharePoint. Let me last go to the security, privacy, and compliance. It's actually a big area for us, not only in SharePoint, but aligning across all of 365. And very excited this morning, we published a great new detailed white paper summarizing security in a comprehensive view across OneDrive and SharePoint. Really encourage everybody to read it. It's the kind of thing if your CIO says to you, why should I move from on-premise to the cloud? Is it really more secure? You know, this white paper is a great, concise way to answer that. And it first starts with the platform. As Scott talked about, we have more data centers than Google and Amazon combined. The physical security of those data centers is incredibly robust. We've done great work around threat detection and monitoring. We have a multi-layer encryption strategy in those data centers. You can read all about that in the white paper. And in addition, we've added support for something called Customer Lockbox that is out there now, so you can see any interactions with your data, and we'll be soon adding Bring Your Own Encryption Key support, so you can add an extra layer of encryption on top of the multi-layer that we do for both encryption of data at rest and in transit. So that's the underlying platform. Second is we want to give you the flexibility to secure content. That's when we bring in a lot of three-letter acronyms like mobile access management and DLP and conditional access management. This is so you can decide what users on what device can get access to what content and what network. There may be some content in your organization that's highly secure that only a set of people get to on trusted devices, on trusted networks. There may be other content where you can be a little bit more open about that, but just audit what's going on, both for the user access and sharing inside and outside your organization. So a lot of focus there. Third pillar, access, control, awareness, insights, auditing, and reporting. We're going to show that in a little bit, so I won't talk about it too much. Fourth area is around information governance. This is the ability to do legal holds, records management, e-discovery. Big news this week from the information protection team that provides those services across Office 365. We summarize that in the white paper as well. And lastly, compliance and trust. We've got more, our goal is to be incredibly transparent with what's going on in Office 365, have the most robust and extensive set of third-party certifications of that, as well as give you full visibility about what's going on in the service. And to show some of the new IT controls for that, we're providing for OneDrive and SharePoint, let me bring up the group program manager for our IT capabilities and our underlying SharePoint platform, Navjot Virk. Navjot?
Thanks, Jeff. Hello, everybody. So today I'm going to show you some cool new security and compliance features in SharePoint and OneDrive. So what we're going to start first with are can you see my screens? Excellent. So the first thing I want to start with, actually, are our new conditional access policies. Jeff just briefly touched upon it. Conditional access policies allow you to control the level of access your users will have depending upon the conditions at the time of access. So here I want to share with you two new conditional access policies. The first policy here allows you to control your access depending upon the type of device the user is using. We know your users are increasingly very mobile. They want access from lots of devices, including their own personal devices, that are probably not managed by you. So this policy allows you to control the level of access your users will have when they're accessing from a non-domain joined or a non-compliant device. Using this policy, you can either allow your users full access, if that works for your organization, or you can block all access. But this is very restrictive. A lot of users want the ability to be at least somewhat productive on their personal devices. And that's why we're introducing a new limited access capability. Using this, if you give your users this level of access, they're essentially only getting access from a browser, and even then, they don't have the ability to download, print, or sync down to that device. So the idea here is your users can be a little more productive than they would be if they were completely blocked, but at the same time, your data is not going to leak to these potentially insecure devices. So let's see what this looks like. So here I am on my work PC, which is domain joined, so it's completely managed by my organization. It's a secure device. And just like everybody else showed you so far, I have full access. Here I am, I can see my SharePoint sites. I can actually go to a particular team site. If I want, I can click on sync and sync down this whole site to this device. I can actually browse. I can click on a document, and if I want, I can actually download the document. And I can actually edit a document. And if I want, I can print the document. So I can do pretty much everything as expected because I'm on a fully compliant secure device. But now, let's say I go to my home PC. So here I am. I'm on my home PC. Let me bring the PC up again. Sorry, let me log in. So here I am, I'm on my home PC, and notice how it's actually giving me a yellow bar on the top, and the bar is telling me that my organization does not allow me to download, print, or sync using this device. To perform these actions, I have to use a device that is domain joined. That's okay, but there's a lot I can still do. Here I am, I'm actually able to browse my team site. I can view all the content. And if I want, but notice how on the top, I do not have the ability to sync this team site down to this device. Also, if I select a particular document, I don't have the ability to download this document. But if I click on the document, I can actually view the document. I can review the content. If I want, I can even send feedback back to my other teammates using email. I have a bar on the top, which is again informing me why I can't perform certain actions. In this case, if you notice on the top, I don't have the ability to print the document. And even if I wanted to, if I tried to print the document in the browser, it is actually going to block me. So here I am. Not only is it going to block me if I try to print it, it's going to print the warning which says I don't have the ability to print this. So essentially, I can be pretty productive on my personal devices, but there's no way for me to accidentally leak important organizational information onto these devices that might be insecure. So now, coming back to my admin machine, the other policy that I want to show you, so going back to admin console, the second conditional access policy I want to show you allows you to control the level of access depending upon the network location the user is coming from. Now, this is a little more restrictive policy, so you should be careful when you're using it, but it may make sense for your organization. Now, let's say you are a really large financial institution and you have a lot of highly sensitive data, and you don't want your users to get access to this unless they are on the super secure corporate network. In that case, you can enable this policy. All you have to do is supply the IP ranges that you trust. Once you set the policy, your users will only have access to this, to your organization's data when they're on one of these networks. The moment they leave the network, they will lose access. And the moment they come back, their access is regained. So let's see, I've set the policy. Here I am, once again, on my domain-joined corporate machine, and I'm at work. I'm connected to the corporate network. So while I'm here, I have full access. I can actually review open documents. I can print them. I can sync them. Everything is fine. But now let's say I was to take this device outside the corporate network. So I'm going to disconnect this device from the network that it's currently connected to. Instead, let's say I'm at the airport, I'm traveling for a conference, I decide to join the network that's available there. So here, I'm going to simulate that by connecting to this hotspot, and I say connect, and let's see what happens. It's going to take a few seconds to connect, but once I'm connected, my policies are going to kick in. Give it a few seconds. Connecting to networks is not something that SharePoint team works on, so this is not our thing. Okay, we can do this. And usually this is the experience you have when you're on public networks. It takes a little while, they can be slow. Okay. Let's see, are we connected? Yeah, so it says I'm connected. So now if I go back to the site and I try to refresh it, remember, this is still the same device that I was on, it is going to bring up an error. And it's actually informing me that due to organizational policies, I can't access these resources from this network location. So it's telling the user what's going on, and it's informing them along the way. But now, if I was to go back and connect the device again, so 2 days later, I'm back in office, I'm on the corporate network, here I am, I'm gonna make sure I'm not on that hotspot anymore. So let's disconnect from this. I am now on the corporate network, and now if I go back and I hit refresh, voila, I have access again. So as your users transition between networks, they only have access on secure networks. So I've just shown you two policies that help you make sure that your data doesn't accidentally leak onto insecure networks or insecure devices. So now I want to switch gears and briefly touch upon site classification. Dan mentioned this briefly as well. So now if you notice, if you try to create a new team site, so here I'm going to create a new team site. Let's give it a name, Super Secret Project. Okay. Once I give it a name, it's actually going to prompt me to supply a site classification tag. Now, these are custom tags that you can create for your organization, and you can decide. The whole idea here is to guide your users, help them understand how they should think about the content that is stored in this site. How should they use it? Who should they share it with? And you can also supply a little guidance here so your users can understand what these tags actually mean. So in my organization, confidential actually means that this data is on need-to-know basis only, and I should not share it with people outside the organization, which makes sense. And in fact, if you want, you can programmatically connect these tags to apply additional security policies. For example, you may want to say that if something is marked confidential, then you just want to block all external sharing on this site. It's a simple feature, but it goes a long way in helping guide your users and educate them so they don't make mistakes and do something by mistake. So pretty simple. Now I'm going to switch gears, and I'm actually going to go to reporting and auditing. So the next thing I want to show you are new usage reports in Office 365 Admin Center. So here I am in the usage reports in Office 365 Admin Center, and you will notice two new tiles, one for OneDrive and the other one for SharePoint. And these tiles are giving me some interesting insights into how SharePoint and OneDrive is being used in my organization. I can actually see how many users are active. I can even see what kind of activities they're performing. So in my tenant, you can see a lot more views and edits than external sharing, which is a good thing. People shouldn't be sharing as much. I hope they're doing more work internally. And you can also see how much storage is being consumed. And if I click on the tile, it actually gives me some more additional insights. So here I can actually filter by 7 days up to 180 days. I can also get some insights per user. I can figure out who's doing a lot of external sharing or internal sharing. Maybe if there's some suspicious activity, I can get a hint from here. So this is giving me some cool insights so I can understand how my users are using SharePoint and OneDrive in my organization to help form some informed decisions and also to get additional value out of my Office 365 subscription. Now, the last thing I want to touch on is logging. We're very happy to announce that we now have unified logs. So for hybrid customers, in one place, they can see their audit logs from on-premise and SharePoint Online, all in one place, right here in Security and Compliance Audit Log Search. It's pretty cool. So here, right here, what I'm doing is I've actually looked for all the deleted file activity that has happened in my organization in the last few days. Actually, as you might know, all user and file activity in SharePoint and OneDrive is logged and is auditable. But in my case, for now, I just want to look for all the deleted activity over the last few days. I'm going to select that, and then I can hit search. And I just did that search, so it's actually pretty fresh. And here I can see the search results. And if you notice, I'm seeing Jeff did some deletes on SharePoint Online. But I can also see that Jeff did some deletes on an on-premise team site. So I'm seeing all the delete activity across my entire organization, on-premise and online, in one single place. This seems a bit strange. Jeff has been doing a lot of deletes lately, which is not fine. I hope he's not trying to delete some important information. So just to be safe, What I'm going to do now is I'm going to actually terminate all of Jeff's sessions across Office 365. Pretty easy. I can actually go here, go to Users, select Active Users from the Admin Center. I can find Jeff Tepper. I'm going to select Jeff. It's not often that you get to get your manager to do some additional work. So here I am. I'm going to go pick. And with just one click right here, I can actually terminate all his sessions across all of Office 365, and he will be forced to log in again. While I try to figure out why, what are all these deletes, what's going on, I can make sure it's him and it's not somebody else. So I'm just going to initiate delete. I'm sure Jeff will have a great time logging into all of his devices all over again. But you know, security is pretty important. So these were just some of the features that we're shipping this year. There's a lot more actually coming over the next few months. So back to Jeff.
Thanks, Navzat. That's awesome. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. There's some news still left. OK, recap of the demo, what we have shipped and coming. So as many of you know, we're expanding the data centers here. We offer customer lockbox, DLP, MDM, and MAM with Intune and EMS, all available. We're in rolling out in preview the conditional access policies. Germany is available today for Azure. Office 365 is coming soon. We're adding bring your own key relatively soon, site classification, and the unified auditing. So let me next talk about the things we're doing to improve the speed to value, both on premises and in the cloud. And again, I've got some news here, so stay tuned. I'll be pretty quick. So we've announced for the last couple years this fast track service that's to help you onboard to Office 365, sort of help you with end user adoption, make the business case, set up the service and so forth, really accelerate your time to value. And today we're announcing two new things for fast track. That relate to SharePoint and OneDrive. First, the ability to do hybrid SharePoint configuration support. This is something most medium to large companies do. It's what we did in MSIT. So why not, as part of your fast track onboarding, we help you configure whether it's hybrid OneDrive search, team sites, auditing, taxonomy, and so forth, to get those set up with you, and we'll walk you through that. Second, we're releasing today a migration assessment tool that will scan your existing on-premises SharePoint sites and help you figure out which ones will move easily and which ones may have customization or functionality that might require some remediation. So both those are available today. Another part of Fast Track is the migration services. And you may know in May we announced migration from FileShares, Google Drive, and Box. A huge amount of interest in that given the unique innovation across Office 365 end-to-end. We've had an enormous interest from Box customers moving back to Office 365 and full-on SharePoint and OneDrive experience. And so really great to see. In addition to that, today we are announcing for a limited time, we are offering for customers with more than 150 seats in Office 365 free migration of SharePoint team sites from on-premises to the cloud. New offer there. So very excited about that. Already have a backlog. Our sales force is under NDA, talked to this about this with a few customers, and we already have millions of customers in the queue to take advantage of that service and really excited to open it up to much more customers today. Last thing I wanted to talk about is the server. We are very committed to SharePoint server, both in hybrid deployments and for customers who need to have their servers run independent on-premises. We released SharePoint Server 2016 on May 4th at our Future of SharePoint event. And at that event, we promised to bring new value to on-premises customers faster than ever before through something we call feature packs. And we're really excited today that we're giving you the roadmap for the first feature pack. The new OneDrive user experience will be a part of that. The new taxonomy and auditing support will be available in a hybrid configuration, and some new administrator and developer capabilities. You may know that we have this topology in SharePoint Server 2016 called MinRoll. It's really a subset of what we do in Office 365, so you can run in the robust topology that we run Office 365 in. Turns out we got a lot of feedback. Min wasn't so min. It wasn't really even medium for some folks in their budget. And so we're really excited to have a true mineral as part of this feature pack that reduces the number of servers you required. But I've got some bad news. At the event on May 4th, I promised we would deliver new value to server customers, standalone or hybrid, faster than ever before, and that we would get this out to you, the first one in calendar 2017. And I'm going to have to break that promise because we're going to ship it this year. In November 2016, we're going to ship our first feature pack. As many of you know, I've worked on SharePoint a long time, so I do know the delta between server releases, and this is the fastest we've ever delivered new value to on-premises customers. So really excited to wrap with that commitment. We've got so much more this week. Again, on behalf of me and the OneDrive and SharePoint team and the rest of Microsoft, thank you so much for your commitment to us. We're working hard for you. Have fun at the event, and we'll see you around at Ignite.